Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey there, groomers. Hi, Susie. What do we got today?
Hi, groomers. Welcome to November. We've got episode 229 of the Groom Pod, recorded on November 3rd, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, Barbara, we're going to talk time management, because we're coming into the holidays and it's so important for all of us. So if you'd like to find our discussion group on Facebook, it's at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. And ouch, Barbara, my fingers are splitting.
Oh, you know, I saw an ad on TV for a product that comes in a little tube with a pointy applicator and you just fill in the crack. So keep an eye out for that stuff.
Well, I've pulled out my gloves in a bottle only to find that there's barely any left in there from last year. So I really quickly went to Amazon and ordered another bottle of gloves in a bottle. And then I pulled out my 3M human spackle, that stuff we discovered last year. And I filled in the cracks as best I could yesterday. And it's feeling a little bit better today. But man, I hate this part of mobile grooming. My fingers will be taped up in another week and probably stay that way until February, maybe even March. Ugh.
I'm sorry.
I know it. So I know you have some frustrations as well, totally related to that stupid website issue you're having with GoDaddy. So I wanted to let people know the best way to find you so that we can fix your shopping issues, because I know that there are people out there who need, and I mean need, a bathing beauty for the holiday season.
Right. Well, I want to remind our listeners, some might not even be aware of the fact that I sell the Hanvi bathing beauty bathing system, pump, recirculating pump style that we often talk about here. And I sell them for $500 plus shipping, which is nowadays 25 bucks anywhere, except not Hawaii. Sorry, girls. Not only would I be excited to sell you a bathing beauty and anything else that might be on my website, but I need to make a sale. Because I'm in financial distress. Put that S-S-S-S-S. Distress. Very rarely do I experience financial anxiety, but I've been experiencing it this last week enough that it's so uncomfortable. I just need some sales there, folks. So shoot me an email. The email address to reach me quickly is bbirdgroomer@gmail.com. So that's bbirdgroomer@gmail.com. And we can do sales from my PayPal account, or we can do sales from Square and my Transformation Pet Center account. But we can do us some sales. So call me if you want to buy a bathing beauty and I'll be right on it.
Last week, we had our mobile grooming roundup. It was so well attended. I had no idea so many people were going to show up. We had a buffet table of snacks, and we had things to trade, and we had tons of vehicles, and I just love this whole gathering thing. And I know I say it. I'm like a beating a dead horse. Get together with your local groomers and have a party, an event, create it yourself, go out there and knock on doors and make phone calls and get yourself a wonderful group of groomers around you. The really best thing that has come out of these now probably 10 years of meetups that we've done is we've got a really nice mobile grooming referral list that Sharon and I maintain. And we updated it. We've got a new copy of it. It's available on our personal local Facebook group, but it gives a way so you can go and click on there and know that you can refer your clients to somewhere. It's a pain in the ass to maintain, trust me, but we do it, and it really gives this cohesive togetherness because everybody wants their name on the list, and it forces them to interact. So as I was working on that list with Sharon, I was thinking, you know, part of the reason we get so much activity is this list. So I just thought I'd share that. That's really the only thing that's gone on with me this week, though. Otherwise, it's been things as usual.
No, but I want to talk about the meetup because bells are ringing in my head. And it's because I have needed the list last week. What happened, and I'm not a mobile groomer, and I don't know mobile groomers. And in fact, I only really know maybe 5 groomers in Tucson, and there's probably 105 of them. But I had a situation where I need to find a mobile groomer for an old man with a miniature schnauzer. And it's an every 4-week grooming.
Ooh, perfect.
Here's the deal. I really admire this man. He's one of my favorite customers, but he's a couple of years older than I am, which is old, you know, and he fell at his mailbox and broke his pelvis. And he was hospitalized and then rehabbed, and he even had a friend that was taking care of Otto the dog for a month. And then the next month he brings Otto in, and that man looks so fragile, so frail, so 5 years older, just like that, you know. And he's so loyal, and Yvonne thought, well, maybe I can pick up and deliver the dog for him. So she says, maybe I could pick up Otto for you. Where do you live? Well, he lives like 50 miles out and near Twin.
Geez.
Oh, God. You know, that man is coming all the way across town to come to my shop. And I'm so grateful. But now I don't want to worry about him driving across town for my services when Otto isn't that. He's kind of a customized. I don't even do a regular schnauzer head on him. I leave him curly on the top, and I shorten his whiskers and kind of fake it on the making a beard. But, you know, he's
He's a perfect candidate for mobile.
I just feel like I need to do him a service by turning him over and letting him go. And Lord knows I'm going to miss the $60 a month.
I bet we've got 45, maybe 50 mobiles on our list at this point. We've got their location, their contact information, the type of grooming they do, whether they do cats, if they're accepting new customers or not. We've got it all down on our mobile list, and it's so helpful.
Yeah, I think we could just do it at the park and pick a Ramada.
Yes.
And then I could put it on the Arizona groomers list, and we'll see who shows up.
Absolutely.
And in my case, it can be mobile, shops, PetSmart employees, whoever you are. Let's share, bring something to eat to share. It can be potato chips, or it can be brownies, or it can be a combination. Actually, those two go together quite well.
Well, I was smart and I brought cupcakes this time because that's what I wanted to eat, and I was glad I did. Except they came in a mixed bag of chocolates and white cupcakes, and I just like the white cupcakes. So apparently everyone else likes the white cupcakes too, because I took home like 6 chocolates.
The chocolate. I would have liked the chocolate ones best.
So we did have Michael. Michael from Cascade came.
Great.
And so did Matthew, and he sharpened my shears, and he did a great job.
I know a sharpener local that I bet would come and do that.
See? That's what you need.
All you would really need would be like 10 people to make a group to invite the sharpener guy.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I know. But I'm hoping maybe there's a Tucson groomer that hears this that can take it on. Because the truth is, Susie, I'm in the deep waters of editing my book, the Beyond Suds book. And that's very, very important. And the only way I'm ever going to actually get it done is to keep prioritizing it actually hour by hour. Okay, Barbara, don't pick up the phone and play another game of telephone solitaire, which leads to 10 or 15 games because I can't put the damn thing down until I win. And then I've wasted a fucking hour out of my life.
Wow, it's like the time management subject was telegraphed
for me.
To me. Yes.
Yeah, meant for me. I want to share something about my week.
Oh, yes, let's hear.
I had a private student.
Oh, how fun.
Come for Bichon grooming work. And it really worked out well. She's got a beautiful, handsome Bichon male named Prince. It's her prince, you know. He's show worthy and he accepts everything. You know, he's good to work on. And he's handsome, and she just needs to get the final touches and stuff on the groom to make him ring ready, and she's going to show him in Yuma the day after Thanksgiving.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure, and she knows, I think it's her daughter is going to handle the dog in the ring. She knows. But she also wants in the future to compete grooming competitions with him. So this will be a step up towards that, too. And we just got along well together and communicated well together. And we're going to do it some more before her show, one or two more times.
So how much time did you spend? Like, you know, how long was she in your shop?
Well, it was at least 3 hours.
And did you guys just work together on the dog? How did you work that out?
The first thing that we did is that I measured the dog.
Oh, that's thoughtful.
Why is that helpful? Well, because when you're grooming a Bichon, the Bichon standard says the dog is 1 1/4 longer from tip of shoulder to point of rump, 1 1/4 longer than the height.
Hey, you didn't say we were going to have to do math.
Yeah, no. Well, she understood it. We had to go into the standard in order to know what to do to make the dog ready for the show. You've got to assess him against the standard.
Okay.
You know, and I have one of these kind of grooming sticks on a ruler that makes like an L so you can put the wooden part down on top of the withers, and then you have the exact height. Well, it turns out that Prince was 1.4 inches longer than tall, so he's a little short, so you definitely want to do a tight front and a tight rear to minimize that he's a little bit short of leg and long of body, okay? Just a little, not as much as Belle is. But we did work on what we could do to show him more leg, and we tightened him front and rear. And the first thing that I did was I helped her find where the neck crest goes up and to make the neck crest an arch because she had made it a ski slope of a neck and the Bichon definitely needs to be an arch so you don't blend it in for a few inches. It stops right at a certain place. So anyway, I eased her into the more technical language, you know, because that's what she needs to learn and able to be able to receive input from anybody.
So this will probably help your grooming too.
Yeah, the only thing about my grooming is that, you know, most of the Bichons that I'm grooming, I'm not doing a full show head. I'm doing a Korean head or an ears out head or something else. So, you know, it's always fun to get back on your game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you had a very busy week. Let's take a moment and hear from Best Shot, and then we're going to start this very important topic of time management. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. The holidays are coming. As a matter of fact, they're upon us. We're right there. We're in the middle of the fray at this point. And I thought it would be a good time to talk about time management. And little did I know, it was a good time for you to talk about time management as well. Why do we need to talk about time management, one might ask, Barbara?
Well, because...
Let me tell you. Allow me to tell you why. Because when time management gets out of hand, it creates stress. And stress is bad. It's bad for grooming environment. It's bad for living. It's just bad. Stress is bad. So we don't want stress. We want happy, well taken care of groomers and well taken care of pets and good employers and all kinds of nice well-being stuff. We don't want stress. Stress is bad.
Well, stress is deadly. It's deadly, you know? Too much stress in the holidays just ruins the holiday for you, and it ruins you for anybody else's holiday because you're just the victim of the season. You know, groomers get sick. If they don't get sick during the holiday, they'll get sick right afterwards as soon as they let down a little bit, you know, and it's because we push too much. Time management is self-management. You know, like, right. That's the bad news, and that's the honest truth, and you can't really do much to the time, but you can just do a whole lot with your awareness of the time.
That is so true. We lose a lot of time throughout our day. It just seems to disappear, and there's a lot of things that suck the time out of our day that maybe we don't think about all that often. And let's start with Barbara's least favorite subject.
We know where you're going.
Let's talk about clutter.
Oh, shit. Like you soared through my chest. Yes, I am the clutter queen. And yes, I know I pay for that. And how I pay for that, it's not just that I have to look around and search for shit, but then when I can't spot it, my anxiety level starts to raise. So I'm just like using precious physical resources just because I am cluttered.
I have a tendency to obsess if I can't find something because I rarely lose anything. So it becomes the focus of my whole entire world trying to find that thing that I've misplaced. That's not a good way to groom. That can cause accidents and make the dogs or cats uncomfortable. That's not good. So, Barbara, you've got some good suggestions in this old handout that's been refreshed that you wrote a long time ago, which I stumbled across this morning when looking for things that I thought were important to talk about at this time of year.
Well, yeah, you know, like we actually found an article that I wrote and used as a handout. Some of my handouts in my heyday of speaking were really well done. And this, I mean, I'm going to give it to myself. This one was one of my favorites. And I'm so glad that Susie found it. And what I'm doing is that when we publish the podcast, I'm going to publish the article on the groom blog. So you can listen to it here, or you can just go and refresh yourself on the groom blog and read it. Either way.
It's so well written, and it gets to the heart of everything that's important to me, which is I love to be organized. It makes me very happy to be organized. I don't like to be disorganized, and that's not to say I don't have clutter, because I do have clutter, but it's well-organized clutter, I like to think anyway. That's such a thing.
I think the most important thing is to remove from your first glance anything that you don't use every day. So I create levels of clutter. So I have in the very background our products, and I have them in a hanging bag and, you know, like draped over this and that. Products that I use are tools and stuff that I use only once in a while. And then I'll have styling products all together. And I have the things that I use every single day are right in the foreground, right where I can reach them. And I try to put things back there. So what happens is that you create these levels and these tiers of clutter or uncluttered objects. And then over the period of time, you mix it up again. Right? So every so often, you need to go through your inventory around your table or your station or whatever you're going to call it and reorganize so that you can. I happen to be one of these people that out of sight is truly out of mind.
Ah.
You know, I think I've shared before that I once couldn't find my toaster, and I thought somebody had taken it, and I went and shopped and bought a new toaster, only to find the next week that it was in the very back of a cabinet. You know, like, what the fuck? Well, now you have two.
For me, organization has always been kind of instinctual, and I like to use a label maker, I'll admit it, or a Sharpie, and boxes or clear containers to put things in so that I can see them on the shelf and that they're labeled so it reminds me what's in there. That's just the anal retentive part of me. It's not so much that I mix up my stuff, because I'm really good at putting stuff back exactly where it came out. Like, the dust marks will still be there, and I'll set it right in the spot where the dust mark was. That's me. I mean, in my brush drawer, the drawer that has my comb, my brushes that I use daily, and all of my blades and stuff, my brush handles point different directions depending on which brush it is, so that I don't even have to look. I just reach in there and I grab the handle that points one way or the handle that points the other way. I just work better that way. But the big deal for me is sometimes things fall out of favor. That's why I need to go through, is because all of a sudden I don't like that particular brush anymore. And there it is taking up important space in my reach when it could be in one of those boxes with a label on it. Or I could take it to the mobile grooming roundup and give it to somebody, which is more likely the better choice. Because once it falls out of favor, it's not likely to come back to favor for me. What about with the grooming itself? How about with the dogs that you're working on the table? Where do we lose time there?
There's some groomers that don't know when to stop and say it's good enough for today or it's good enough. If you are always driven by the need to be perfect or it's the best, you know, I don't even like the concept, it's the best I can do. To me, that kind of forces you to try to do better and better and better. And then the next thing you know, you've overspent the time allowed for that grooming.
I had this experience just yesterday, and it just came into my head. I do a Bichon in a non-traditional, shorter kind of lavender head, little bit longish ears, and a yellow comb on the body. And she was very matted, so I went down to a little bit shorter than that this time. And when I was finishing up the dog, not quite done with the scissoring because she wanted to go and she was antsy on the table and I was just trying to give her a little break, I heard this knock, 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 and I opened the door and it was Dad. And Dad had to go to an appointment. it was an hour and a half in. Usually takes me an hour and 40 minutes, an hour and 45 minutes. He was pushing the envelope a little, and I hadn't really finished her head, but I thought, you know what? He's pushing me. He needs to go. Nothing I can do about it. So I took the dog in, set the dog down, and jowl on one side, no jowl on the other side. And I just looked at it, and I went, oh, dear. Do I say anything about it, or do I just leave it alone? He had to go. He was pushing me to go. So I pointed it out, which was my big mistake. I'm like, okay, she's a little uneven here, but since you're in a hurry, I'm not going to worry about it. But if you want me to fix it, I'll come back and fix it. But there you go. I had to let it go. Looks like he needs a wisdom tooth out around the one side.
I've been known, but this isn't even so much as being perfect. I have been known to, we put the dog on the other side of the counter to greet the human, and then I see some big sticky eddy and the back of the tail of a terrier, for example, and he didn't quite go short all the way up the distance of the tail, and there's just some wisping, and I say, oh, wait a minute, and I'll run over and I'll just fix that. You need to be able to have levels of your grooming best. That's a way of thinking of it. I hadn't thought of it. I have several ways that I groom. I have ways that I groom where I want to cut the time as short as possible, and where I don't have time to do my fuller, pickier groom, and then I just through it. You know, I can finish an Airedale in 15 minutes, but I might not want to take pictures of it. But, you know, like sometimes when you're doing... Oh, as a matter of fact, I ought to shut my damn mouth because I had one of these rushed grooms come back on me this week. Shall I share it?
Sure.
Yoshi the Screamer, who also known as the Singer, he screams so much that I have him with an hour. He comes in at 10 and he leaves at 11. And, you know, and he's kind of a little Maltese mix. I'm not going to say even poodle. He's just kind of a poor thing, you know. He's pitiful little white dog that has so much neuroses going on that he's almost ungroomable at the same time that he's a little bit frail. The guy who owns Yoshi, he works as a checkout guy at the grocery store. Right? He's a clerk at the grocery store, and he keeps his commitment to getting this little dog done every 6 weeks, pretty much no matter what, you know. So he's a good customer, and we've been doing this for a number of years, and the truth is, other groomers wouldn't really love to have Yoshi, but here's what happened. He calls me, and he says, hey, Barbara, did someone else groom Yoshi last time? You mean like my evil twin? And sure enough, you see, that's the very polite, least aggressive way a client can bring your attention to some imperfections in your grooming. They love you so much, they're not going to blame you, but they might blame you for letting someone else do it.
Yes.
Nah, they said, did you groom Yoshi last time? When I said, well, last time I looked, I didn't see any other groomers in the shop. So I would say, Peter, if it's a crap job, it's on me. Right? I just owned it just like that. Yep. And he said, well, yeah, it's just kind of uneven and it's just not your usual grooming. And I said, well, gee, I'm sorry. And thanks for bringing it to my attention, son of a bitch. So, you know, like you've got to be willing to take that. So what I discovered was that after Peter delivered this to me, and I did do a nice job on the dog yesterday, and probably what happened the time before is I didn't have Yvonne available to help me on the table with this frail and somewhat frantic dog, okay? So I just did a lousy haircut. I worked it out just fine with the owner. I just took the kind of self-deprecating humor way and blamed my evil twin. And
I
said, he said,
worked.
Did you see what I meant? And I said, yeah, I think my evil twin groomed the dog. I'm so sorry. thanks for bringing this to my attention. I just like pretended to be another person for a minute. And we laughed and we got over it, you know. But the next dog on my table, I was like extremely picky about.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, you kind of overcorrect on that, but
that brings up, if you must be obsessive about being a perfectionist, just pick one of the dogs during your day. Don't try to do it with all of them.
Yeah, pick your model dog. Pick your one. And here's just another thing. You need to know your customers, and you need to know how picky they are in what they see, because they're going to vary too. And it's very possible that you have a difficult dog and they just really don't expect you to be as good as their friend's dog that lets you do everything without any bad behavior. So, you know, you have to know your customers and save your perfect groom for the customer for whom that's going to make a difference.
Oh, good point. That is a great point.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of those customers, how about the customer that sucks up your time? This is my biggest problem in the whole wide world is I chat with everybody. And luckily, as a mobile groomer, I've totally written it into my schedule so that I have the ability to be late everywhere and conduct my conversations as I will, telling my stories and living out my adventures and my clients living through me. And I'm not going to give that up. But that, in a shop situation, is a massive time suck.
There was a period of time where I just took that on. I said, I'm going to try to be more succinct, more efficient in what I say with the customer and not let it go into a rambling matter. And one way to do it is to have a clock. I'm gonna do this again. Have a clock that's behind the client and over their shoulder on the wall somewhere so that you can just kind of glance up and over there and see what time it is, right? Just having clocks around really helps you manage your time a little better. The location that I have right now of my clock is it's behind my back as I'm at the counter, so I have to turn around and look at the wall. That's so obvious, you know. I just don't like to be obvious about watching my time. I had for a while I was trying to get super efficient, I had a sand timer, and I would turn it. I would come to the counter and I would turn the sand timer. That's what we've got. It was 3 minutes or whatever it was.
You made a point of not wanting to be obvious, but sometimes that well-placed look at your watch or turn and glance at the clock communicates to the client that you've got a schedule and you better get back to work. All right, well, let's take a quick break, hear from Evolution Shears, and then we're going to come back and talk about tracking our time.
Okay.
Our hands are moneymakers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution Shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Okay, definition du jour time, but it's not really even a definition. Well, it kind of is. We're going to talk about time journals. Man, are they a pain in the neck.
Oh, but you don't have to do it often. You just need to do it. You just need to take... more than one day, because a day can be too unique. You know, a couple of days during a week or one week can make columns. You can divide your tasks and what you do into columns, and so you can do what your comb out, how long it takes, what your scissoring, how long that's taking, the bath, whatever. You know, like you can just slice your day up. And the best way to start with that is just every time you change a task to write it down and what you're doing now. Then you can go back and organize and add up how many times you went to the bathroom a day, for example.
So you mean, like, for instance, you get to work and it takes you 20 minutes to get started on the first dog, and then you write that down, and then your client interaction takes 5 minutes and you write that down, and then you do your bathing and you write that down. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, that's kind of like the idea. In other words, you get a waterproof notebook or something that, you know, like something cheap. You just notate time. Abbreviate, you know, and just put down what time it is and what you're doing, and what time it is when you change activity, what time is it and what you're doing all the way through the day, you know, so that way you can find where your time thieves are. And certainly chatting with customers can be a huge time thief. However, if we don't talk to our customers, we're less likely to have a good bonded relationship.
And I think the tips suffer.
Yeah.
I really do. If you don't have client interaction, if you don't go out there and make a little personal conversation with them, they are less likely to tip you. So I'm all for it. But you got to keep it within limits. So if you do this, if you track your time, you're going to get kind of an overall picture of where you're spending a lot of time. And I bet that some of that time is being spent maybe on your phone or maybe even chatting with coworkers. And maybe when you've got a difficult day, you need to draw the line and say, hey, you can't chat right now because you're running late on the groom. There's nothing worse than running late on the groom and somebody's telling you what they had for dinner and how they cooked it as you're trying to concentrate on finishing your groom. So drawing those boundaries is kind of important. And you can find those boundaries and find those areas where you're losing time by journaling it all out. But it is a pain in the neck, and you'll find that you may not get a whole complete day of journaling. You'll probably get 2/3 of the way, and then you'll get busy and you won't write another thing down for the rest of the day. But yeah, it's worth making the effort.
But it's worth making the effort, and then you can find out what you do in the afternoon of the next day. It's a just do it kind of a thing, but a time journal really exposes yourself to you, and that can be very helpful.
quick break. We'll hear from show season, and then we'll be back with our At the Table segment, which is our final segment about time management.
Hey, speaking of show season, did you see my before and after pictures of Pee-wee, the Maltese, and my magic makeover?
That was quite a transformation in that coat. Oh my gosh.
Somebody said it just like I've thought it. It looks like he sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, I don't know, but that dog gets black like that a lot. He's the dirtiest Maltese I've ever known. And the only thing that I can think of is that his coat must be somehow it's porous. And it's holding the asphalt in the coat. And the Maltese coat is not supposed to be porous. Marco has a super fine, kind of not so porous coat. But this guy's coat is porous, and that dirt just climbs up his legs. I mean, he was just black.
What did you use?
Show season grime time, girl. It's the magic wand for really dirty dogs. She used the grime time, and then we rebathed with the show season bright. And the dog came out looking lovely. And it's not the first time that we've had that kind of a challenge. It's just the first time I got the after picture.
It's remarkable.
It's remarkable. It's a remarkable product. I'm just like so glad I keep it on hand.
If you guys would like to get your hands on a tub of Grime Time or some Show Season Bright or any of the wonderful products, you can find them at showseasongrooming.com. You can give them a call at 678-382-0218 or email your order if you're already set up with them. But they're also at many local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply, which is my local distributor. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. It is such a difficult challenge to have a receptionist that is not a groomer that does your grooming scheduling. It is a huge advantage if you can do your own scheduling because there are so many different elements involved in grooming, in the grooming process, that can take extra time or not be quite as much time. And unless you're a groomer, you can really F up the schedule there. I didn't say it, but I kind of said it. So scheduling is an art. It really is, isn't it?
Fuck yeah! No, I'm laughing at you because you can't say it.
I can't. I don't know why.
I've tried to loosen your lips. Lord knows. I've tried for 4 years.
It's fucking hard to be a receptionist
there
and try to
go.
Schedule for a
Good
groomer.
Good girl. Good girl.
As a groomer, that's a way you can lose a lot of time or add extra stress on yourself because of bad scheduling. When I worked at the vet hospital, I had like a chart for scheduling, and every day in the morning when I went up there, I would look at the chart and I would adjust things and I would make them call people back and move schedules and things like that. And then I would go back there in the evening and see how they had messed it up during the day, because guaranteed they had put someone in somewhere it wasn't a good spot. So that is a bad time suck.
Yeah, that is. And I have a tip. It's particularly relevant to the holidays. We probably should have done this episode a couple of weeks ago. But here's what we used to do at the kennel where I learned. We would take all of our November dogs. We had a lot of 4 and 6 week dogs. So when they came in their appointment before their Christmas appointment, we would do a super good job and maybe a little bit shorter. When we got all jammed up for Christmas, we could take some of those dogs and just do a bath and tidy. They would be good for Santa. So think of that as a possibility, because that can just really free up your time if some of those scissored breeds you've done just super good, so they're going to grow out real evenly and, you know, everything. And you can just like do their feet and their the front door and the back door, we call it. And and around the eyes, you know.
Also, another thing you lose time to in scheduling is no-shows. So do those reminder calls or send those reminder texts. As annoying as it is, that's going to save you time in the long run. And it's much harder to fill a spot at the last minute rather than just know in advance that they're not going to make it. So do your reminder calls. Self-realization. When things are out of control in your own personal space is pretty doggone important. So you need to know when you need to step up and put your nose to the grindstone and get to work. Sometimes you got to put the phone down. That's a trouble for me. I get distracted by the podcast discussion group often, amongst other things.
I know.
And I can lose time that way.
I see the employee. You know, she got the hand dryer going in one hand, but on her other hand, she thinks I'm not looking. And she's got that other hand down. You know, like, people do not look at their toes when they're grooming a dog. If you see your employees looking at the ground, it's really they're looking at their phone that they have in their lap.
And in your mind, you think, well, I'm just holding the dryer. Certainly I can look over here and scroll with this other hand. But the truth is you're wasting valuable time. You really are. You can't dry the dog as effectively when you're not looking at what you're drying. And it's just a fact. All too often, especially during the holidays, as groomers, we do not take lunch. Lunch has a very valuable place in your day, and you think that you're saving time by not taking lunch. And the truth is, we all need time to regroup. You need time to look at your phone. You need time to talk to your coworkers. You need time to step away from the job. It's an important, valuable tool, that lunch break. I get a little lunch break in between every single appointment because I drive from place to place, and I can stop if I want. That works really well. But in a shop situation, I get lost and I forget to take a break. It's important to take that time for yourself. And like I said, even though it doesn't seem like a time-saving thing in the long run, I think it is. Oh,
I agree, because it's not only time-saving, but I'm going to tell you that the few times where I've had like meltdowns with clients, where I have triggered something in them or they have triggered something in me, and we both went back to our four-year-old selves and had a mess, right? That's happened in the afternoon when I would have low blood sugar because I didn't take a lunch. I usually don't go crazy when I'm well nourished. It's you just really got to take a look at that. You just become less efficient if you're hungry.
I agree.
So it's important to hydrate, because you don't think about hydration so much in the wintertime when it's not calling you all the time. But you need to hydrate. You need to take at least a 15-minute break for lunch. Just some time to breathe, and then you can jump back in on it. So I try to schedule a 15-minute period of time for myself. And it's good if you can do it with the employee, but it's not necessary, especially as you get really busy. They may have a kind of a break in their activity at a different point where you would have a break to take 15 minutes. You know, and what I try to do is not play iPhone solitaire on my 15-minute break, because if I'm not winning, I'm not going to want to stop. I am experiencing game addiction.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell you something about myself, if I can turn the damn phone on. Total of all games played, you guess?
5,000? I don't know. I have no idea.
12,487.
Ooh, that's a lot.
How many games of Demon have I played? 2,553. And I only win 9.0% of the time.
That means you can't ever step away.
I know. I have to play like 11 or 12 times, you know, in order to get one. And then, okay, I'm done. I won. I'm out of here. But then they've got this thing called greatest winning streak. So that makes you, after you win, that makes you want to play again to see if you can beat your winning streak.
Oh, that's funny.
and it's got me good. I wake up and play a game of solitaire, and I go to bed and play a game of solitaire. However, on a positive note, the solitaire is a anxiety-reducing thing for me. Even though I get a little wrapped up in, you know, like this damn game or something like that.
I can see that.
You know, and it keeps my mind sharp because I'm dealing with those numbers and all of that stuff. So there's the positive side.
The positive side of a time waster. Okay, well, I think we're deteriorating into the madness.
Sorry, people, but we've had
okay,
fun.
Okay, so I wanted to mention something that I have heard on the internet brought up at least a handful of times, and it is something that I could absolutely do, and I'm debating it, and that is, I think you guys may know that I'm a dance teacher. I've been teaching dance since I was in high school in one form or another. And I do not have yoga credentials, but I do have a lot of stretching credentials. People want to have some yoga or some stretching at some of the trade shows. Perhaps we'll give that a try at the Tacoma trade show this year. Maybe I will do a stretching class in the morning if I stay down there in the hotel.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be a role reversal?
I'd love it. I'd love it. So I think that I might offer that up. Just, I don't want to do a bunch of traveling, but that is something I could really help with, specific stretching for grooming, because we do have areas where we need to really go opposite directions of what we do all day long. So there you go. That's it. Shout out to all our Patreon supporters. We really appreciate you tremendously, and I hope that you guys are enjoying the new audio. I think it's a lot better. So give us some feedback on the Facebook group for that. And look for Barbara's article on time management. We're going to put that up as well. So happy grooming, everybody. Let's meet here again next week. See you later, Barbara.
See you, Susie. Take care of yourself, groomers. We love you.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
Anytime.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, dear. This is the email address would be Fuck me, groomer. I'm gonna, on 1 minute silence, and I'll say it. Wait a minute. This is gonna be funny. If I can ever fucking, if I can ever fucking get there, wait.
This is gonna have so many little gems for the after show.
Why is my phone doing that? I don't want that. I want this. Oh, there we go. Whoa.